Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Tuesday, April 7th. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 29, reading the first paragraph, which begins with further on clear-cut directions, through two paragraphs ending with of what has actually happened in their lives. Again, that's page 29. Today's readers are Susan G. for the 12 Steps, Luann C. for the 12 Traditions, Chanel T. will read and comment on our share, Dana P. will read page 164 for us, and Ann SCH is here as a backup. Thank you. Larry G. will greet our newcomers today, and Robin P. will close us out with some announcements. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 23344. That's 23344. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 23345. That's 23345. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Susan G. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everybody. Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are, 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me give service. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Susan G. And I will now ask Luann C. to please read the 12 traditions on page 562.
Good morning, Elaine. Morning, everyone. I'm Luann C. I'm so grateful to be recovered today in Boise, Idaho. These are the 12 traditions of OA. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you so much, Luann C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 29, reading through two paragraphs, starting with the first paragraph, and I will now ask Chanel T. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Elaine. Hi, everyone. I'm Chanel T., currently in Washington State. I am a grateful and recovered compulsive eater by the grace of God today. Further on, clear-cut directions are given showing how we recovered. These are followed by 42 personal experiences. Each individual in the personal stories describes in his own language and from his own point of view the way he established his relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and a clear-cut idea of what has actually happened in their lives. Yeah, you know, this book, the program is contained as far as the clear-cut directions in this book, and I think it bears repeating. You know, I like to look up definitions, look up words. There, of course, if we're talking the common that I would think of normally for the word recover, it's to regain a normal position or condition as of in health, like recovering from a cold. But the one that I really like for this, as it starts even on the title page of this book about recovered, says that word, and that's a promise. If we follow the clear-cut directions as spelled out in this book, to save from loss and restore to usefulness, to reclaim. Tell you something, when I was in the food, when I was in the food behaviors, there were a lot of ways in which I wasn't particularly useful, particularly to myself or anyone who was trying to be close to me or had no choice, like my daughter. So to be recovered means more than to be abstinent, doesn't it? So to be abstinent, we know what that definition is. I won't go over that right now, but OA, it's very clear about what that is. I'm abstaining from, I'm refraining from eating certain things and acting out certain behaviors while working toward or maintaining a healthy body weight. I guess I did go through it, but it's really important that I recognize that that's the entry point. I've got to do that. I've got to put that stuff down. If I go through these steps drunk in the food and food behaviors, I'm not going to have the same recovery, am I? I'm not going to. I might get something out of it, but I won't get all there is to get out of it and be able to give and share. I won't have the freedom that I get to experience today. And that's what those stories talk about. They talk about people coming from darkness into light, illness into recovery, though I'm not cured, but recovery, bondage into freedom, hell into the fourth dimension. I don't know about you, but being stuck in that food on an endless cycle of dieting, of starving and binging, of overexercising, all the different things I did, of self-loathing, I don't miss it, and I need the freedom from it every day. This book tells me how to do that with clear-cut directions. It also tells me a way to establish or reestablish a relationship with my higher power of my conception, just like you get yours of your conception. Isn't that a beautiful thing? What a beautiful way of life. Even the worst day today in recovery and freedom is better than my best day in the food and food behaviors. Thank you for letting me share on this. Stick around for this big book study. Grab on if you're new or you're returning. I'm telling you, this is the way to go. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Chanel T. Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page 29, the first two paragraphs, then please give me your name. We'll take a lineup.
Paul R. Good morning.
Paul R.
Julie B., Oregon.
Julie B.
Janice C.
Yeah.
Regina V, California.
Regina V, okay, thank you.
Lisa N. in Georgia.
Lisa N. I'll tell you who I've got. Paul R., Julie B. Who was that?
Sorry, Maria C. in California, if you're still taking names for this round.
Sure. I've got Paul R., Julie B., Janice.
What page are you on, please?
I'll tell you in just a second. Deanne, Regina V., Lisa N., and Maria C. And we are on page 29, and we're commenting on the first two paragraphs, on full paragraphs on page 29.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, okay. Paul R., please share with us. You'll be followed by Julie B. And star one to unmute, Paul. I think I heard a Paul R. Okay, well, why don't we go with Julie B. and then jump back to Paul.
Hi, thank you. This is Julie B. from Oregon, compulsive overeater and sugar addict. I think I'm getting to the point where I can say I'm pretty close to being a recovered person now. And I love that reading and I love that share. I just wanted to make a comment about this. I just had my first Easter since joining OA last May. And just the difference between then and now. I went to a brunch at someone's house and I made a beautiful salad and a beautiful vegetable dish that were both on my plan so I could fill my plate with those things. I normally used to always make a special cake that was my Easter cake. I didn't make it. It used to be walking through the candy aisles, I would wait until the day after Easter so I could load up on Cadbury eggs and stuff like that. This year, nothing. I gave my grandchildren books instead of candy. And then today yesterday at work, somebody made a comment that I felt was rude and pushy. And I didn't say a word. I just took a deep breath, reached out to a fellow, did a tent step, and I felt so much better. I didn't add to the drama. I didn't add to the controversy. And saying no to all of that non-programmed foods for me, I didn't miss it. I didn't feel resentful. So that's me after 11 months in this program. I just wanted to offer that to people that, like, After 64 years of eating nothing but candy at this time of the year, I love my green salad and my sweet potatoes. So this program does work. And thank you, everybody, so much. And I pass.
Thank you, Julie B. Shanna C., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. That's where I live, but I'm currently in Jacksonville, Florida, being treated for some pretty rough health problems, but walking through it with grace and dignity was through the power of these 12 steps and the relationship that I was able to form and through working these 12 steps, you know, and sharing from my own language and my own point of view how I established this relationship with God, you know that this is how I'm able to do this is because I have a relationship with God, a real relationship, and because nothing else satisfies. You know, I've heard that my whole life, but when I start really experiencing the reality of that, you know, walking through some really hard stuff, and even though it's difficult, being able to remain abstinent and neutral, and being able to walk past things that used to really grab my attention smell-wise that I can't even smell anymore. I heard a speaker say a while back that God had even changed her nostrils and her sense of smell. And at first when I heard that, I was like, oh, yeah, right, whatever, you know. You know, be careful what you mock, right? Because you know what? Even though I was, like, skeptical it happened to me too, I cannot believe the kind of power that comes from this wonderful God that we get to form a relationship and a partnership with. If I'm willing to admit that I am absolutely completely defeated by this thing and then I have nowhere else to go. So that is exactly what has actually happened in my life. And, you know, and I find that if I can just get over that hurdle when I'm able, and I'm praying for the courage to get over the hurdle of being vulnerable and sharing what has actually happened in my life and disclosing, fully disclosing myself and my problems, that I'm able to, you know, connect with other human beings in a way that makes them not feel so alone in the world anymore. And I don't know about anybody else, but having been a compulsive overeater and all of the nuances and all of the things that are involved in being a compulsive, the shame, the guilt, the seemingly invalidity of it being a disease, all of the things. Being able to share that stuff and be properly armed with the facts about myself, the good and the bad, you know, that's what someone did for me. They shared what they were most ashamed of. I connected with that. Because of that, I wasn't alone in the world. And this girl shared the power that she had to remain abstinent and happy and be able to walk through situations unharmed. And that's what I need. I need to be neutral, but I can't bring that power. I can't make that happen in and of myself. And so that relationship with God that this book talks about, and seizing upon this, thank you so much. Seizing upon the directions in this book, just in the previous paragraph, the clear-cut directions. It's how I get to stay recovered a day at a time. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. And thanks to Vision for You for being that place I got to come to for that. All right. That's all I have.
Thank you so much, Shanna C. Paul,
this is Paul. I'm back.
Oh, fabulous, Paul. Please share with us. And after that, you're followed by Deanne. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for letting me to share. I actually accidentally hung up on. I was got so excited to share. And this, you know, this is just the best meeting. And it's just finding out, like, what it means to you and just going paragraph by paragraph. It's so powerful. But what needed to happen to me, I really needed to, like, collect enough evidence that this thing really works. And it says it right there. It says it right there, but my prejudice and my criticism and judgment towards this book, it needed to be lifted. And I needed to have a man and women's and men's in my life that I trust their words and I believe what they say about themselves. as you know, like I needed to find that out, and you know, in a couple restaurants, that you know, the main problem is sometimes in my mind, and my mind is the main driving force, like that takes me back to the food all the time, over and over and over again. You know, so if I want to have, if I want to recover, and if I want to be recovered, I really have to like sit on it and work on the mind part. You know, what is this? Like, how can I really recover from this? And that's when the steps comes in. You know, like in the triangle, the mind is treated from with the 12 steps, and with the recovery part that I have to. Because I cannot be cured. It has to be, I have to work these things. And today I work stronger than I ever worked, because now I discovered so much things that I haven't discovered before. But, you know, it's so beautiful to say, and, you know, how they established, but once it's established, how to maintain and improve, because I can improve this relationship with God, and it only can be improved if I do what this book says in 86, 87, and 88, and learn of my best ability to devote it to my life, you know, how to get out of self. You know, it's like we ask for self-will, for freedom from self-will, and to find it, what is God's will to me, because that's what I need to do. As a result of that, like, it's just, you know, my relationship with myself and with other people is, like, I was not related to anyone before. Thank you. That isolation was so strong, and today I don't need to isolate anymore. I just want to go out and have some fun. You know, I'm actually enjoying my time each day, today, right now. Thanks very much to share.
Thank you so much, Paul R. Glad for your share. Deanne, you are up next, and please let us know where you're calling from and the first initial of your last name, if that's all right. And please share with us.
Hey, good morning, Elaine, and everyone on the line. This is Deanne F., and I am in New York. And I am gratefully recovered for this day. And that happened as a result of God's grace and love and following clear-cut directions. And I just had to share on these words, because I am a person who naturally, if there's a direction to go, I will go in the opposite direction. I literally just do not have any innate sense of you know, direction. So I, like, my whole life changed when a GPS became something that was available to, you know, regular everyday people. I mean, my life changed, an absolute psychic change on every level, because I wasn't struggling all the time to figure out where I was. And a lot of my job actually depended on me going to new places all the time. And even though I live on an island, I mean, there's only so far you can go either direction without ending up in the water. I still struggle. And so what happened to me with this practice, like, my experience is that GPS means to me God positioning system. And I need these clear-cut directions every single day, all day long. And I ask for them, you know, and it But the thing about the GPS is that you only can do it one turn at a time. I mean, you can look ahead and see what the turns are, but it's like the directions are just one action at a time. And that is my experience with these steps as well, is it's like one step at a time. So that's what I have to share. And thank you for letting me share. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much, Deanne F. Regina V. in California, you are up next, followed by Lisa N. Please share with us, Regina.
Hi, everybody. My name is Regina V., and I'm so excited to be here. I am not recovered, but I am on my journey. So today, my sponsor said, I want you to read Bill's story, so I'm barely starting, and listen to Harlan's Bill's story, you know. And so I finally got to a point where I was so desperate to do whatever my sponsor tells me to do. And I am grateful that I found this sponsor. It hasn't been an easy journey. I joined OA in August, and I had a sponsor that I just chose just to have a sponsor. And I started gaining weight. I gained 40 pounds from August to now. And, you know, I knew in my heart that the sponsor that I chose wasn't the right sponsor for me, but I wasn't willing to do, you know, something different, like change sponsors, until it got so painfully clear that if I continued with the sponsor that I had, I was going to balloon up to who knows what, but I was going to continue to gain weight. And if I gained enough weight, I was going to eventually have disastrous health consequences. And so I got to a point where, like, I was at a critical stage where I had to make a decision. And I did. I chose to let go of the sponsor. And I didn't have one for a while, but I trusted. And I kept on saying, God's going to find me the right sponsor. I found a sponsor that wasn't for me. It wasn't the right fit. I was walking on eggshells and in fear, and that only lasted a week. But then, by the grace of God, by the grace of higher power, I found the most loving, gentle, with super strong recovery. And she and I are, you know, walking hand in hand on our path for me to get recovered. And I'm so willing. I don't think I've ever been this willing. But I surrendered. Yes, I accepted that I am a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Regina. Lisa N., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Maria C.
Hey, Elaine, this is Lisa N., recovered in Georgia. Can you hear me okay? I'm driving.
You sound great.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, thank you so much. Oh, good morning. Good morning, Vision. I am so grateful to be on the line live with y'all. I'm on spring break this week, so it's a treat to be with you. And perfect paragraphs, as always. Clear-cut directions. that should probably be on my gravestone. She did not follow clear-cut directions. No, that's morbid. Anyways, I am so grateful that I finally followed the clear-cut directions. You know, I mean, I've shared, every time I share, I talk about, you know, 24 years of doing things Lisa's way, and what did it get me? You know, it didn't get me much. I am absolutely blown away right now, the recovered state that I am in. I'm driving back home from Dallas, Texas to Atlanta, Georgia, and I got to visit my 18-year-old son, who's in a sober living facility there, He made amends to me yesterday. He made his amends. Here I am in a recovered state. I'm a different person. I'm accepting his amends. It was a beautiful time. God was with me the whole way. It just blows me away. Why didn't I do this sooner? Well, you know, we will not regret the past is all I can really think of. Anyways, just filled with a lot of gratitude, and yeah, I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Lisa Ann. Maria C. is up next, and then we're going to take a few more shares on page 29, the first two paragraphs. It begins with further on clear-cut directions and ends with of what has actually happened in their lives. And love to hear what has already been happening with all you people. So Maria C., please share with us, and then we'll take another lineup.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Maria C. in Los Angeles, California. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm also on spring break. So it is a treat to be here live. Going to the paragraphs and reading through them with you guys, you know, it's just, it's beautiful. It's just really beautiful. And I see, you know, the clear cut directions showing how we recovered. And I too am, did not want to follow directions and spent the first 30 something years of my life not wanting to follow them, even as I got sicker and sicker and my health issues grew and grew and grew. And I'm also looking at the second paragraph that my personal story is describing in my own language and my own point of view, the way I've established a relationship and with God. You know, just thinking about how I can apply these paragraphs, it's such a miracle to have recovered, to weigh half of my top weight, to not have all the food in the cabinet that belongs to the rest of my household calling to me, to not be sensitive to food smells. That's a real thing. When I'm on top of my spiritual game, I don't smell stuff the way other people do around me. But the clear-cut directions for how I established my relationship with God, I put down all the food that I could possibly binge, all my red, all my yellow, but then prayed to God, even though I was scared, prayed to God, even though I wasn't sure it would work. I followed the directions in this book with a sponsor as my guide, and just took a leap of faith. And there's some sort of alchemy as I went through all of these steps and followed these directions where all of a sudden I felt connected to a higher power who I wasn't sure. I've said this before, but I believed in a higher power that hated me. I couldn't have articulated that to you ahead of time. But what I realized once I started doing the steps was I was so scared that if I tried, I really tried like everybody else did in this program, and if it didn't work for me, then I was completely hopeless and there was nothing I could do. But I made a beginning with a God that doesn't think like that. And I didn't do anything special. I didn't do anything new. I didn't do anything crazy. I didn't do anything buzzworthy. I just followed these clear-cut directions and the magic happened. Just put down all that addictive substance. And there we go. Thank you. I pass.
Yay. Thank you so much, Maria C. There we go. Okay. And here we go. I think we have time for maybe 4 or 5 more shares. And so if you, although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page 29, the first two paragraphs, please star one to unmute. Let me know.
Kathleen O, Maine.
Kathleen O. Who's after Kathleen? Quiet line. Please share with us, Kathleen. Go for it.
Good morning from Maine. This is Kathleen O. I love this reading. I've been listening to shares all morning on this. Can I be heard?
You sound great.
Great. What I'm thinking of when I look at this paragraph is that idea of the direction that brought me to God is everything or nothing at all. And I had to come to that place where He is everything. And through working with my sponsor and vision for you, I'm shown, you know, she just brought me through the steps. And my design for living had me in food and other things. And now this new design of living has brought me to, you know, first grade, step one, where I learned to read. And I learned to read the big book with a heart and eyes that God has me seeing things differently. And then, and believing in step two in second grade that he's my power, and that all I need to do is just surrender to Him, and that He restores me to sanity moment by moment. I mean, it's been a crazy life, and then turning my will, and I just think of each of those steps as a grade. But now I don't remember much about algebra, and I don't remember much about trigonometry, but I can tell you today that that as I have worked through the steps and I'm learning my way around helping another fellow by sponsoring, that this is such an ongoing, I will never forget, you know, and I'll learn more. And it's just richer and more beautiful, this design of living. And so it's such a glorious thing to look behind me and say, wow, look at what I left behind. And I don't even know what's ahead of me, but I'm just living in joy, and not always easy to get back to that joy at times, but I have those tools and that toolbox, which is so precious, and just looking, reaching my hand up and asking God every morning, every day, just I know you're with me, and go ahead of me, God. I know you're there already, but I'm just testing the little shaky bridge. And I'm just so amazed. It's a miracle every day. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kathleen in Maine. Okay, we have time for a couple more shares. Who'd like to comment on page 29, the first two paragraphs?
Stephanie S., California.
Stephanie S., and who's after Stephanie?
Linda from California.
Linda in California. And what's the first initial of your last name?
F. As in Frank.
S as in Frank. Mm-hmm. And we have time for one or two more. Did somebody else want to share?
Madeline H.
Madeline H. Okay, great. Okay, Stephanie, please share with us, and you'll be followed by Linda and Madeline.
Hi, everyone. Can I be heard?
You sound great.
Okay, great. Stephanie F. from California. And I don't share as much. I'm trying to share a little bit more on the vision for you. I like this reading around the clear-cut directions. When I first came into program, I heard the clear-cut directions from my sponsor, and I was reading in the big book, and I kept going back in my own will and wanting to do my own thing. And this weekend, with my Easter weekend, it was just amazing. Like, all these different things happened, and I had a connection with program fellows, some in-person meetings, and then also with some friends. And I'm learning a whole new design for living in terms of not stressing out over what I'm going to do, setting boundaries with my family and friends, not engaging in Easter has always been one of my favorite holidays with the candy. I didn't do that. And And it was amazing. And then yesterday I was going through my day. It's one day at a time, and I had something pop up with the resentment. And I turned to those clear-cut directions. I listened to what my sponsor tells me, like, make those outreach calls, look at your part. And then I did talk to her, and I moved through the day with amazing, like, peace and serenity. I ended it with that, and I couldn't have done it without the program and hearing all the stories. I love listening to everyone on Vision for You because so much recovery, and I take notes because it helps me as I face the ups and downs of the day. And with that, I'll pass. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Stephanie. Linda F., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Madeline H. Please share with us, Linda.
Thank you. Thank you, moderator, and thank you for your service and everyone on the line. I can't recover by myself, although many of times since I've been in recovery, I have tried where self-will has come in and slammed the door of willingness shut until the pain gets so great that I am so willing to follow the program as it's outlined. I've been in recovery for quite a while, and it's been a journey. And it doesn't matter how long I've been in recovery, because I've seen and heard newcomers come in that just, I mean, like a jet take off and grow spiritually. But one of the things I wanted to share in regards to the reading is that our hope is that many alcoholic men and women desperately in need will see these pages. And that has given me permission to not shame myself when I feel desperate. But the other part that, like I said, I've read this book for so many years, and this is the first time that this has jumped out at me, because I don't share that much based on, don't talk, don't feel. Children are to be seen, not heard, so I have not fully let that go. But here it says, and this is going to help me, desperately in need, we'll see these pages, and we believe that it's only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that they will be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too. I must have this thing. So for me, part of being in denial is, oh, I don't have to share, I'm going to let others share. No, I'm not willing to be so vulnerable. But here it says that only, it's another clear-cut direction, only by fully, not half measures, not just a little bit every once in a while, but fully disclosing ourselves and our problems, fully disclosing myself and my problems. And it doesn't say just before I get into the steps or just after I'm recovered. It there's no time frame. It's what I'm interpreting that. And so I am willing to share more on a regular basis because, like I said, this just jumped out at me. And I am persuaded. Thank you. I am definitely one of y'all. I pass. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here and sharing that. That's so great. Okay, we have time for one more share. Who would like to take it?
Luann C.
It's all yours.
Madeline H.
Sorry, we only have time for one. Please share with us, Luann. Sorry, Madeline.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. This is a great two paragraphs. I noticed that in each one there was the words clear cut, And the problem with me when I came in was the fact that, those shows about hoarding and, how it looks inside their house, that basically was how it looked inside my mind, you know, because I couldn't take any clear-cut directions because I knew that somewhere in my mind, under a dead cat, there was an experience or something I read or some answer, but I didn't know where it was. It was like a giant hairball in my brain. But I saw people recover. I heard people recover. I kept coming to the meetings. I didn't understand how they did it because, of course, I had never been recovered. But that gave me the hope. And so it gave me the courage. You know, finally, it just is so claustrophobic in my mind and being isolated in my mind for so many years. To see somebody recover, to hear how they did it, gave me the hope to leave that whole internal mess behind and just accept these clear-cut directions one day at a time, one step at a time. And man, it's so simple that way. And I didn't realize that's what I needed, but boy, the life and the experience of getting recovered has just been, you know, it's life altering, and I can finally love the people I love. That's my greatest gift. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much. And I think I had a power outage just a minute ago in my house. And I think, Madeline, did I skip over you? I'm so sorry. We have time for a 2-minute share.
That's okay. Thank you. I'm only in a vision to you since September. I've been in OA since 03. And my recovery in a vision for you is remarkable. God is doing for me what I can't do for myself. My sponsor, it was my sponsor in OA. She didn't drop me when I had my relapse and kindly introduced me to a vision for you. Oh, I am grateful to God for my sponsor being in my life. I'm grateful for these rooms. I'm grateful that I'm not the only one who has smells that drive me crazy. So I no longer bake. I no longer do those kind of things. I don't invite what is not good for me into the home. I always laugh that if someone came to our house unexpectedly for dinner, they would have to eat my dinner because it's all weighed and measured, and there's no extra. So, again, my name is Madeline H., and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm so glad you had a chance to share. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin T. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And Robin, you may have some background noise. I'm not sure. Maybe it's somebody else. So just so Robin, it's all yours.
I believe it's Dana P.
Oh, is it Dana? I'm sorry. I've got the wrong. So sorry, Dana P. It is you.
Yeah,
thank you very
thank you
much.
So much. So I don't mind being confused with Robin P. Robin is my sister, and she's my fellow in recovery as well. So I'm Dana P. in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Do freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.